Introduce you to the world of the Kutzker Rebbe. Okay, so because there are so few boys here today, I won't give a full explanation of who the Kutzker Rebbe was. I'll save that for tomorrow. He lived in the end of the 18th century, 1787 he was born, first part of the 19th century. One of the master of Chassidus Rebbeim, because a lot of his ideas are shared in many different streams of Chassidus. Again, I'll talk about this a little bit more tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem. But the word that most people associate with the Kutzker Rebbe is the word truth. Now, it doesn't mean that other Hasidic Rebbeim were untruthful or dishonest, but there's a sense that with the emergence of the 19th century, truths have to be reframed. It's modern psychology. People have a better self-understanding. You have to be able to see things with a fresh set of lenses, not just to view things in the old, stale fashion, counter-intuition, see things the antithetical way that most people see them, don't get caught in formulaic ways of thinking. Looking inside yourself, understanding yourself better, which to us seems cliched, but to the 19th century man was a big breakthrough to process life subjectively rather than objectively. There's some objective truths that everyone succumbed to. And of course, he's very, very different from classic Hasidus. There's a sense he's a second generation Hasidic Rebbe, so there's a bit of a corrective against what he feels are some of the strains of Hasidus that he felt maybe drifted away from truth. So, for example, the emphasis on Simcha could be wonderful and can be very empowering, can be very enlivening, but it can blur and conceal some truths. If you're always in a state of simcha and happiness, you're not probing and inspecting yourself, trying to get so. We'll talk about this a little bit tomorrow. So what I'd like to speak about today is trying to update the concepts of Avodah Zarah. Now it's the 19th century. Who's worshipping idols? Who's worshipping planets? Who's worshipping stars? Who's worshipping Asherah? So taking a look back at some of these psukim and reading the psukim which speak about Avodah Zarah metaphorically, and finding modern forms of Avodah Zarah. Now, that's your Chayiv Misa for them, and not that they're Yehari B'Yal Yavor, but taking psukim about Avodah Zarah and reading them metaphorically and yielding certain truths about yourself and Avodah Hashem. So I'll just read three today. Again, there's very little of his that are written. There's one letter that he wrote that was written down. Most of it is Baal Peh. But the good part about it is almost every strain of Hasidus is citing him. So these statements recur and constantly surface, and so you're hearing these little one-liners. Most of them are one-liners. They're not long pieces like the Stras Emes or even like the Ishbitz. We'll talk a little bit about cuts in Ishbitz. So in the Pasuk, in Sefer Devarim, Lo Yibacha El Zar, which is a Pasuk about Avodah Zarah. You shouldn't worship foreign idols. But it's a strange Pasuk. It's in Yeschanan. Lo Yibacha El Zar. Lo Yibacha El Zar. Lo Shachavel. What does it mean? Lo Yibacha El Zar. So he interprets El Lo Yeh Bechazar. So here's a good case of counterintuition. El Lo Yeh Bechazar. Don't let Hashem be foreign to you. Don't let Hashem be a stranger. So we're no longer worried about most people about worshiping Avodah Zarah, but the modern incarnation of that would be if Hashem becomes a Zar. If Hashem becomes Bechazar, if Hashem becomes distant from you, then you're in the world of Avodah Zarah. It's only not halachically, but experientially. Something similar in Tehillim. Parak Kuf Yutes, the parak which is dedicated to eight psukim for each letter of the aleph base, Li'olam Hashem Devarcha Nitzav Bashamayim. Your words, Hashem, are always fixed, are always fastened in the Shamayim, which is a pasuk about hierarchy and about Hashem's transcendence and about the difference between Shamayim and Aretz, Hashamayim Shamayim Hashem, the Aretz Hasan Lefnei Adam. But he inverts the pasuk as a warning that for people, it's very easy to create that compartmentalization between Shemayim. Hashem, you're in Shemayim, I'm on the Aretz. Let your words stay in Shemayim. I'll succumb to them, I'll submit to them, I'll reform them, but I don't want them to permeate or to pervade my domain, because then it has to affect my identity. I'm, of course, elaborating. These are one-liners that he would say. Most of his Torah is one-liners. So that's a critique. The Olam Hashem, Devarcha Nitzav Bashamayim, this is a warning, this is a rebuke. Don't become the type of Avod Hashem that creates dissonance, or at least distance, between Shemayim and Baris. But say, oh, Hashem, you're so high and mighty, but stay in Shemayim. Of course, I'll listen to you rather than bonding with you and allowing your word to infiltrate who I am as a person. So it's not necessarily a pasuk about Avodah Zarah, but it's a very similar tonality. And then there's a pasuk in Vizchanan, in the second Dibros, Lo tase lecha pesel or basisim. This is actually not in Dibros, but in the warning that Moshe Rabbeinu delivers to Am Yisrael, you're going to enter Eretz Canaan, and you'll learn from the societal mores, basisim lechem pesel temunas kol asher tzivcha. You'll make a sculpture or a picture of anything Hashem commanded you. And it's a strange grammar. What do you mean? Hashem doesn't command you to make pictures. So that means Hashem commanded you not to. You shouldn't make a picture or a sculpture of planets or of angels. You can make a picture of a flower. You can make a sculpture of, or at least a picture of a table. So, Asher Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha, these are the list of items you can't create a structure, a sculpture, or a picture of, and these are those that you can. But he reads it as a warning against turning mitzvahs, Kol Asher Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha, into a pesel. Don't create the mitzvahs that Hashem instructed you, don't convert them into a pesel or a temuna. What does it mean, a pesel or a temuna? Something external without any internal core. If you just have something which is a sculpture, it's a physical or visual rendition rather than something at the core. So you have your physicality, but then you have your core, which is not physical. Your identity, your psychology, your soul. Painting or sculpture is no soul. It's inanimate. It doesn't have any life to it. There's no vitality to it. So be careful not to render the mitzvahs that Hashem commanded you into a pesel or a temuna, where you just get caught in robotic externals, routine performances, rather than deep kavana and deep thought. So these are three different statements of the Kutzker Rebbe about trying to update or modernize some of the statements about theology and about paganism and make them more existential and more modern. Number one, lo yibcha el zar, don't turn Hashem into a stranger. Li'olam Hashem tevarecha nitzav b'shamayim, don't create a separate space for Hashem, even though that's a hierarchical supremacy, but don't create that distance. Always hierarchy runs the risk of creating distance rather than integration. And then finally, don't turn mitzvahs into pesel and timuna. So Mitzvah Hashem, we'll take a look at some of the ideas of Kutzker Rebbe. Rav Amital would quote him a lot. I try to quote some of those which Rav Amital quoted. But it's very, very different than classic Hasidus. For example, just to give you a phrase that has nothing to do with today's shiur, a lot of the first generation of Hasidus were celebrating the great miracles which the Rebbe performed, the Osos and the Mosim, and he healed this one, and he allowed us to arrive in town before Shabbos, even though there's no way naturally should have arrived. And there was a bit of a counter-reaction to that in the world of Kutzk. So he once said, Osos and Mosim, people that perform Osos and Mosim, the Amas B'necham. That's in a strange land. That's not a holy land. That's a cursed land. But for someone that's Biadmas B'nei Bracha, Biadmas Am Yisrael, not interested in Osos and Mosim. So we'll talk a little bit about that, about the rift between Kutzk and Nishbitz. A little bit we'll talk about, try to put that in as well. It's a nice chance, 2 weeks before Pesach, feel a little bit of what I would call Kutzker truths. That's the word that people normally associate with truth. If I'm not mistaken, I had the book once. Someone wrote a book called A Passion for Truth, I think it's called. The guy who wrote the book, Buber, maybe. I'll have to look it up. I have it somewhere in my house. I used to have a lot of shelves of English books, and slowly the sperm encroached on them, so they're in some box somewhere. But A Passion for Truth, I think was written by Buber. It compares Kutz to Kierkegaard, if I'm not mistaken. Very interesting association. But both were a modern approach to trying to understand truths as subjectified rather than objective. What are the truths now that we know how the human psyche operates? Okay? But again, all of these are all balpeh. There's nothing written down. It's all just balpeh statements. And very, very short ones. Okay? Have a good week, everyone. A good Kutzker week.